Hi, welcome to Thomas Anonymous. Today's show we have Chapter 18, Vag Monologues Part 3, Blue Collar Cock, followed immediately by the Weed Cap. Buckle up, it's gonna be a truthful ride. My name is Tommy Natoli, and this is Thomas Anonymous. Chapter 18, Vag Monologues Part 3, Blue Collar Cock. When I wasn't tackling girls during touch football games, I was busy flirting with them. Girls booze weed. Girls booze weed. Girls booze, gay Craigslist hookup, weed. That was the pattern of the fall semester at the Not Real College Acting Conservatory. My New York vagina resume is a short one-name list. The dorm slut. I'm pretty sure that's her real name. We banged at least a few times. She was super fun, and she owned her sluttiness like an 18-year-old version of Samantha from Sex and the City. What does a freshman have to do around here to get some fresh men? That's my bad joke Samantha impression. Me! And I'm pretty sure that was the only girl penetration I had while at school. Yeah, I had other girls in my room.
Chicks, bruh.
But it was all flirty bullshit, not sex. Drunk dorm room makeout sessions. Drunk taxi makeout sessions. Drunk bar makeout sessions. Man, I liked making out drunk. I was busy! Dorm slut and her BFF were always trying to get me to three-way with them. Like, if you girls want to les out, go for it. You don't need me to justify it. You have no idea how bored I am watching you ladies make out. Oh, great, your tits are out. Oh, God, this night's never gonna end. All of these great times usually ended with a disappointed girl or girls leaving my dorm room. Okay, bye! Banging the dorm slut was easy because she was basically a power top. But all those other girls, it was like I was in the role of the boy and I just lacked the desire to make a move and initiate sex.
Doi.
As we all know, I end up leaving New York City and dropping out. Haha, me! Hey, I'm a proud quitter. I've quit almost everything I've ever started, and that's artistic integrity, goddammit. The fact that I haven't quit this book slash podcast slash whatever is shocking, but I shouldn't say anything yet. I am still prone to quit at any time and kitchen table note you guys. Podcast over, bye! I'm a proud quitter, and I'll tell you why. Because I feel like I'm always constantly surrounded by proud quitters. People with their, oh, I quit smoking. Oh, I quit drinking. Yeah, well, I quit paying my car payment, so nobody cares about your 30 days of no caffeine. After proudly quitting and leaving New York, I found myself in the small town I spent years fantasizing about escaping. That feeling, needless to say, sucks. I was 21 and made whiskey, cigarettes, and doing nothing my main focus in life. Hi, I'm Wareham. Since I had been a professional booze bag in New York, my new hobby in life was going to the different bars in town to pound a few drinks before I go home to pound more drinks. Yay, 21-year-olds! I couldn't face my true self in New York, so of course, once back in Wareham, I doubled down on the I'm straight gig. It was in a local bar and grill that I found Willow again. At first, it was professional waitress Willow that I was talking to, but by the end of the night, we had exchanged phone numbers. It was casual at first. She was in the middle of breaking up again with baby girl's bio dad. She tried to work things out with him, but it wasn't working out, mostly because of his loser status and super stinky foreskin. I'm sorry, I'm a journalist, I have to tell the truth! It smelled like rubber and mustard. Allegedly! We didn't get back together right away. I was on my own journey of hanging out with losers, getting fucked up. I used to travel to random places just to get drunk and go home. 20-something are priorities! After me jet-setting and train-tripping across the country, I returned to the magnet that is Wareham. And that's when Willow and I officially started dating again. And by dating, I mean she would come over to my place and we would smoke weed and cigarettes and fuck. It was a couple months of this, and before I knew it, we were having the Tommy and Willow relaunch, season 2 premiere! And we had to pitch it to her friends, family, and baby girl. I could totally just be the cool boyfriend. Yeah, that's it. Sure. I got a crap job making shitty Subway sandwiches, and we were once again living the domestic dream together. Insanity! Live in Technicolor! There was no attic apartment this time. Willow had a real place with real ceilings that you could stand up and shower under. And baby girl wasn't a baby anymore, and this time we had a close bond without the crushing weight of being daddy. I clocked a ton of hours playing My Little Pony, lifting her up on my legs to be an airplane. Pretend this, pretend that. God, you know, five-year-olds are obsessed with telling you what is pretend. Like, I get it, we're improvising, girl. Just keep going. And my favorite baby girl game was when I would pile all the blankets and pillows onto the bed, pick her up, and throw her across the room into the pile of soft, cushy awesomeness. Hey, what can I say? I'm a lot of fun. Me! While I was having a blast throwing children into blanket piles, I ignored all the screaming voices inside of me telling me, "Hey, this isn't what you're supposed to be doing, asshole!" And I kept ignoring them. "Hey, hello, this is a lie! Are you listening?" And I kept ignoring them. "Hello, we made like a clear open path for you, don't you remember Lithium's baby?" Ignoring, 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 ignoring. "And this is what you do with your second chance?" Ugh. Yeah, sorry. As the months rolled by, the bitterness of life started to set in. The smell of Subway on my clothes. Ugh. The constant full-time job that still left me with no money. Facing the truth that if I didn't say anything or do anything, that this was gonna be it. This was gonna be my life, my future, and the best I could hope for in my shitty little town. Maybe some people at this point might want to escape this and motivate themselves to get out, but I wanted to sink in deeper. Still caring so much what others thought, I wanted to be a normal, blue-collar, working-class, whatever you call them type of guys. And I wanted to be accepted by those type of guys. Probably because I was super into them. Seriously, working-class dudes are hot. I would love to blow some blue-collar cock. Wait, no, did I say that? No, dick thoughts! I'm not gay, I'm not gay, I'm not gay. Huh, good. As I settled in again to a domestic life, it started to hit me that maybe all these thoughts wouldn't go away. Oh, maybe it wasn't a phase, huh? No way, fuck that! Being a gay guy sucks! I don't want to be some queer eye for the straight guy! I just want to be a straight guy! Ugh. I wanted to permanently weigh myself down and commit to this situation. I also wanted to make up for the past of leaving a note on the table and skipping into the distance with stupid Lithium. So one night, while Willow and I were having sex and she was riding me, top, I pulled out a diamond ring and asked her to marry me. Penetration engagement. Yeah, now that is romance. And it was a real ring. I mean, it was a ring from Sears, but better than a paperclip. Bam! I was engaged. Again. And I also knew that the real anchor to life would be to have a baby, and so of course, we were also trying to make a baby. We were busy. Full entrapment is what I was looking for. Enter the wedding planning, the constant sex in hopes of getting knocked up, the false alarms of pregnancy. I was fighting against everything my insides were telling me, ignoring intuition and desperately trying to create a reality that was never intended to be mine. As you can imagine, all of this was a great recipe for some good old-fashioned depression. Insert funny depression commercial here. Not able to get out of bed on my days off, I would have outbursts of random anger and just be an overall negative asshole to Willow. I would spend afternoons laying in bed just staring at the wall, and I built a rock-solid emotional wall around me and secluded myself from everyone and everything. Despite all that I was trying to create, marriage, a baby, a family, a dumb job, my intuition was screaming at me every day that yet again I was doing it all wrong. As if it was some kind of life lesson that I was failing hard. So, I detached. Men. I started staying out more at friends, becoming super busy all of a sudden. And by busy, what I mean is I was busy smoking weed and taking shrooms in the woods. Me. After a few months of total detachment, Willow and I broke up a couple weeks before Christmas. It had been coming for a while, but when she left all my stuff at the end of the driveway, it all hit me. I cried and cried and cried and felt heartbreak in a way I never had before. And I didn't understand why I felt such pain since the whole thing was of my own doing. One would think that I would be relieved and feel free, but I felt like I'd been gutted and as if I had murdered somebody twice. To know that you are causing somebody such heartbreak again, miserable breakup feelings again, is such a gut-wrenching feeling. And feeling that horrible makes you feel even worse because then you think, oh my god, they're hurting worse than I am and it's all my fault! It's a vicious breakup cycle. How did I escape the prison cell of my own mind? I listened to music. A lot. I was super emo. All day, every day, I would pump a playlist into my head. I'd walk around, stare at stuff, maybe paint a window, color a picture, just sit with myself and my feelings. Inspired by all of the queer bands I would listen to, I started wearing black eyeliner all the time and everywhere I went. Not just so that I could feel something different and express my inner angst, but also to make all the straight guys at the local Walmart really fucking confused. Through my shroom-induced state of mind, I was casting some serious magic out into the world. Yeah, magic, it's real, you guys, look it up. I was summoning the power to break free and let go, to be myself and not give a shit. At that time, I was also full of deep, blood-stained anger towards the world at what being myself meant. I was angry that we had labels and boxes, and I began to objectively look at the effects of society on my life. And although I didn't know the term at the time, I was infuriated at toxic masculinity. The rules and standards of our stupid culture were asphyxiating me. So I began fighting back the only way I knew how. Black eyeliner. Duh. Nothing scared straight men more than seeing a guy in eyeliner. I could feel their dicks shrink up inside them just at the mere sight of me. And that made me feel amazing. It was just fuel to the fire for me. It made me want to make every straight man in America feel that way. It's basically still my main career goal. Eyeliner and punk rock got me to wake up a little bit. FYI, punk rock will save your soul. Look, I'm not a music nerd, and I'm certainly not an ambassador for punk rock music. I was much more of a casual bystander who grew to love the mission statement of punk rock. I can't name a punk scene band, or a song, or a hipster fun fact, or a concert story, or whatever the fuck. Don't care! All I know is, for me, punk rock isn't about the music. It's about the attitude. They didn't give a fuck what anybody thought or said about them. They were holding up a mirror to society to show them all the flaws and stupidity that runs amok. They didn't let words hurt them. They took those words and they put them in neon lights above their head and said, "Fuck you, world, eat my ass." Those guys are cool. But I wasn't interested in, like, the songs, the albums, musicians, old school scene facts. Boring. I mean, I liked the fashion and making pyramid studded jeans, but I just really loved the whole middle finger in the air attitude. To me, punk rock isn't a music genre, it's a state of mind. So I took it. I applied the fuck you of punk rock to my life, and it saved my everything. Willow and I did the classic, "Oh, we're broken up, but let's still have sex," thing for a little while. But I could tell that on the days she would find me in 3-day-old guyliner, that she knew and I knew what we have both known the entire time. Despite the sex and connection and time together, I was different, and it was clear that I was heading down a different road. Even after we stopped having sex post-breakup, we managed to, after some time, stay friends and remain in contact. She used to get me pot, and then we would hang out for an hour or two every other week with the unspoken gay word under the surface. We both loved each other, and we felt a soul connection, but it was just, like, wrong time, wrong place, wrong life type of thing. After the Willow 2.0 breakup, it was the year of my hippy-dippy spiritual awakening and discovery of the rest stop, and that whole blowjob circus started. It was through those hookups I began to see what kind of life I could have had. Working full-time, stopping off on my way home to quench my blue-collar cock-sucking thirst. All while Willow, or whoever, made a meal and raised the kids. Thanks to the rest stop, of all places, I started to let go of that fake-ass stupid idea of what I should be and who I should be. I embraced the attention I got at the rest stop and used it to empower myself into self-acceptance. Finish zip leave! Thanks for the blowjob, mister. Have fun going home to your wife. I'm going home to a pizza and America's Next Top Model. Ha! As I slowly started to be okay with wanting dick and having no problem telling people I like dick, I still didn't want to be categorized. I didn't want to be put in that box of gay guy. I found that to be the most offensive part. Why do I have to pick a label? Ugh, conformity! I called myself pansexual because I heard Michael C. Hall say it in an interview once, and I'm a copycat. Me. I mean, I'd been with women, but I didn't want to be put in the bisexual box. God, so many boxes that ironically have nothing to do with vaginas. Since I was finally listening to all my feelings about me, I also had to listen to the other voice in me that had been saying something for years and years. I had to leave. If there was one thing I knew from the moment we moved to Wareham on November fucking 1st, 19 fucking 90, it was that I needed to get the fuck out of that town. That town was sucking my soul. To me, Wareham is a wasteland where people either get a job at the bank or become a total drug addict and overdose. While I knew I could never work at a bank, so I better jump ship before I ended up in a rehab or the morgue, I spent an entire year summoning all the courage and all the everything I could do to muster up the balls to do it and leave. Even I wasn't sure if it would really happen, but I had to at least give it a try. I could not sit in that town and let my feelings of what life could have been like eat away at me forever. I emailed a lot with my dad in California, who encouraged me to go stay with him and, as he said, start anew. When I was just about ready to leave, I got word that my dad just had a brain aneurysm and was in the hospital. I felt horrible. I felt like, oh my god, this is totally my fault because of my Navy death lies I committed. Me! Also, I was annoyed that I was ready to move and now I had to wait for him to recover. God, doesn't he know this is all about me? My dad thankfully made a kind of astonishing recovery from the brain aneurysm, and then I just had to wait for the green light from him to move west. While I waited for my green light, I made a quick trip to New York City, and I stayed with Shaving Cream Dude. Who? Oh, he was a guy I went to school with and hooked up with once. He came to my dorm room one night and asked to borrow some shaving cream, and he never gave it back! Anyway, we fucked. In Trisha's room, and we used her sunscreen for lube. So, I was going back for seconds before I made my big move to Cali. It was nice to have the experience of not having to slink away in shame after. No finished zip leave. This was like a real grown-up sleepover. I'm growing up, you guys! When I left the next day, as I walked to the train, the sun was beaming down what felt like a spotlight just for me, and I felt in that moment that I had to tell my dad before I got there. I emailed him to let him know that I was excited to move out to Cali, but I wanted him to know that I wasn't straight, but that I was pansexual. I told him that I loved all people. It's nice to ease people in with the bi card, especially dads. As I stressed out after hitting the send button, I quickly got a reply from him that said, "Cool, the more the merrier." I love my dad. Finally, I got my green light, and that's when it happened, and I couldn't believe it was happening, but it was, and I did it. I left Wareham. I still wasn't out of the closet yet, but by transplanting myself to the other side of the country and moving 3,000 miles away, I set in motion my unavoidable evolution. I couldn't believe I did it. I fucking left. You did it! Yay! Thanks for listening to Chapter 18, Vag Monologues, Part 3, Blue Collar Cock. And welcome to the Weed Cap. I'm Tommy Natoli here in Los Angeles, and the chapter trilogy is finished. Yay! Hashtag never again. Today is an awesome show because to finish out Vag Monologues, I have on the podcast today a very special guest, one that we all got to know and love through part 1, 2, and 3. Calling into the show today is the one and only Willow. Yep, you heard me. Willow, she will be joining me, and you are not going to want to miss that because we find out some really funny, cool shit. So fun. Of course, I'll also be chatting with the best hair in podcasting, Michelle with 1L, who, by the way, was the one who told me to write these chapters. Vag Monologues wasn't part of, like, the original Thomas Anonymous. She finished reading my first draft and said, yeah, but what about these girls you mentioned? Like, you really just breezed over that. So, poof, a chapter trilogy was born. And it's the only one that will ever happen. Here's the thing. I hate chronological stuff. I don't want to tell a story in order. Like, you know, I want to go from a story about recess in second grade to a story about sucking dick in a restaurant. Me. So, yeah, that was tough for me, and the storyteller in me felt super constrained, but, you know, it was all for, like, the art of it, bro. So, yeah, let's get into it. Make yourself a drink, roll yourself a joint, do whatever you have to do to keep yourself buckled, because we're just getting started right now.
So you want to talk about your chapter?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready?
Let's do it. Yeah, it was chapter 18. How did you feel? Did you do it? You did listen to
it. You know what? Of course I listened to it, and I laughed. So did Kayla, too. She walked by right at the part where you said something about eating somebody's ass out or something, and she went, oh, my God. So I really, really, really enjoyed this because of Willow, of course.
Oh, good. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and I love the way that you guys broke up. Because you guys don't seem like you ever really fought.
No, not like lithium. I can't recall fighting with her really, like, about anything.
Yeah,
real.
Yeah, and I don't know, the way you guys broke up, but you still did it, even though you wore eyeliner, which cracks me up.
I loved eyeliner so much.
But, you know, what's funny is I used to always say, you know, the more mascara you wear, the bigger bitch you are. That gave you power. When you would put on mascara, and it was true. Same thing with the eyeliner. For some reason, it just gets people. If you're, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it really does. It's like you, I don't know. I'm sure it's how drag queens feel when they get all painted up. It's like you, it's like you're putting on a mask, but it's a mask.
Right, you're
to
hiding.
Reveal your most inner asshole or something. You know, I don't know.
Yep. Absolutely. So it was, I really, really did like that. That was good. I loved, I don't know, all of your adventures that lead you to your dad.
What happened? I didn't kill him this time.
No, that was the thing, is that you were getting payback for, you know.
Oh,
for
I know,
live
karma.
Times. Yeah, yeah. And he was just so cool. And what the heck was that?
Fucking cord. You cut the clip, you're... earbuds into a thing that's clipped into your phone. It's like an extension or a
So it's not wireless is what you're saying.
No, not at all. And like the new phones, you can't just put regular like headphones into. You have to get an extension cord jack like converter and then attach your headphones to that thing that attaches into your phone. It's the most ridiculous. I can't believe it's the future and this is the bullshit.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'd be so much better with a windy cord on a wall, fucking landlining it right now.
Well, yeah, and then calls wouldn't get dropped because you couldn't go anywhere.
And I wouldn't be losing my shit right now if it didn't happen literally every single day when we talked.
It does happen every day.
And I hurt my thumb when the phone fell.
You are going to have one of those days.
Anyway, yeah, everything you just said, I agree. I honestly didn't even feel like doing a weed trap for this one. I just was just like, okay, it's done.
Well,
I just feel like I didn't have anything to say afterwards because it was like the whole trilogy.
It was very self-explanatory. Yeah, it's over, and that makes I'm glad it's over. This was a really, really good one because I loved that you. This was when you were so pissed, you're so over the toxic masculinity, and I love it too because I know your dad. And
I know, and we're getting into that fun time.
I know, super exciting. Super exciting. And it just, I don't know. And your dad, what a great answer when you told me you were pan, whatever the hell that means. And you said, great.
I know.
The more the merrier, or whatever you said. That was just, you know, tell your
dad.
Yeah,
oh my God, I know.
Yeah, it made me miss him. He was just so, yeah, whatever.
He really was. And I remember in the mountains when he was, like, driving me somewhere once, he was talking about, you know, he was always talking about, like, getting some puss or something. And he, like, caught himself. He's like, yeah, we can go get some girls. And then, like, he paused. He was like, hey, we could also get some guys, too. And it was so awkward, but so sweet.
It was. He tried. You know, he didn't even have to try. That's just the kind of guy he was. It was just, he was just a great guy.
What I hated, the trilogy's over, is I hated the chronologicalness of a trilogy. I like going, you know me, I like going back and forth. I'm like, this, and then a kid, and then this. I hated, like, the timeline of, like,
the schedule.
A three-chapter chronological situation is not my cup of tea, so that's why I'm thrilled.
But you did it, and it was brilliant. It was really, really good. I loved the first one. The middle one made me go, and then the third one made me go, yeah.
And, oh my gosh, we totally forgot. This is all, I think I mentioned it when I talked to Kate in the last episode, but this is all you. This trilogy is dedicated to Michelle with 1L because you're the one who told me to do it.
Oh, yay! Well, it was a good trilogy. And
don't
I love it.
Remember? You read the first.
Yes, I did. I read your book and I said, you need, where's the girl?
Yeah.
So I think that is awesome.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. So it did. It turned out really good. I love it that you tried to have a baby after you promised the universe that you would do anything not to.
Oh, my God. I know. Who does that?
A lot of people.
And then the universe wasn't listening. They were just like, no, we're not. No, you're not getting a baby, you fucking idiot. Thank God, but thank, you know what I mean. Thank the light.
I do. Yep, I do. I know exactly what you mean. So I say thank God anyway, because that means the overall, it's just because that's what I'm used to, but the universe really does come through.
I have some, I think just listening to the entire series of Thomas Anonymous, I have some really great angels that just push me where I need to be going.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They are
so cool.
Oh, and I
learned something else, too, about that, about spirit guides. Spirit guides are not the same as angels. Angels have always worked for, you know, the supreme being, the big, you know, the universe. They have never been in a human body before. Spirit guides have. They've lived at least once, sometimes 100, however many lives.
And oh, interesting, because so they're actual souls.
Yes, that used to have been incarnated, so whatever many. So sometimes with specific problems, you can call in somebody, and it was funny because she said, make sure you let them know that you need the best. You don't want somebody coming in that, you know, didn't succeed at whatever it is you're trying.
The new guy. It's like the new guy in the office.
Don't give me the new guy. Yeah, I need the best you got.
Oh my God, that's funny. And so true, you know. I'm so greedy. Mm-hmm. I always say, just send everyone. Could you just send them all?
Yep. I need all of them. Well, there's so many. Yeah, so that is very, very interesting.
I love that. Oh, what t-shirt am I going to wear today?
Oh, sounds like you said wet t-shirt. Ha ha!
Wet t-shirt contest!
Oh, my God. Oh, it's almost Mother's Day!
Oh, my God, you're right.
So I'm going to have to... Ooh, I should go on Amazon. It's something fun cheaper. Well, you have to go do your baby class. I love you, and take out your damn dogs.
I love you, too. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks for always, you know, being such a fabulous person.
Ah, my pleasure. You too.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Oh my God, is it the star of the vagina monologue?
I guess if you want to call me a star, I don't know. I would call you the star. What's up, Stud Muffin?
Oh my God, hi. Thanks for calling. You're so awesome.
You are awesome.
Are you scared? It's going to be okay.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. I'm totally sitting in my car right now, so I'm not interrupted by children.
You're sitting where?
In my car.
In your car. How many children do you have now?
Two.
Oh, just the two. Okay.
Just the two. Okay, I'm all set. Yeah. And Latina's gone. She's at the boyfriend's house, so really, I just have a four-year-old pin now.
Here's how on the same page we are. I'm also in my car right now, about to go to a stupid mic, but see that? We're both in the car.
Oh, that is awesome.
So that we cannot be bothered by the people we live with. All right, so take a deep breath in. Just take a deep breath in.
I totally had a few cocktails just to have some liquid courage, just so you know.
Oh, cool. Great. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The people love Willow. They do. And the fact that you're calling in proves two things. One, that you're a badass. And two, that despite all of that craziness that I talk about, we're cool.
Oh, absolutely. You're one of my favorite people.
And when was the last time the last time I saw you in real life was when I came to your house that you are in now with Kate. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Do you remember what year that was? Because I don't.
it was almost 3 years ago. It was like 2.5 years ago, I think. Because we bought the house like 3 years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Awesome. We're gonna play a little game stuff. So this is a game I just invented for the show.
I love it.
I was supposed to play with someone a few episodes ago and it didn't happen, and it's called Memba. So it's
Memba.
Memba. And this is a game everyone plays with their old friends every time they're reunited. Basically, I'm going to yell random memories at you, and then you're going to confirm yes or no if you remember them. And if while I'm, like, saying whatever, if you remember something about that, you can stop me by saying memba, and then tell me what you remember.
Okay. All right. I think I follow.
Okay, ready?
I'm ready.
Memba, all the nasty cinnamon alcohol we would drink, like Goldschlager and
Aftershock. Remember we used to keep it in the freezer? I don't think I can drink Aftershock or Goldschlager ever again after all those nights.
I was going to ask you that, if you've ever even had it since then, because I can't even look at a bottle. I'm like, why?
No. Do they even make that stuff anymore? I don't know.
They do. They sure do.
Do
all right,
they?
We're moving on. Memba, my pleather pants.
I have pictures of those pleather pants. In fact, I remember tripping on acid. We both had our pleather pants on.
What? Oh, my God.
I remember going to the club and grinding to P. Diddy and what's Biggie's wife's name?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you remember that?
Faith, what's her name? Faith Evans or Faith?
Faith Taylor Evans. Faith Evans.
That's so funny.
Faith Evans.
I thought of that song this morning, actually, because I forgot about the pleather pants, but I did remember that club experience.
Remember
Friendly University?
Oh, absolutely. I still say I graduated from FU.
Yes!
And I think I still have my supervisor pin.
Oh, that makes me happy. And then you have to, just a quick side note, is that Friendly still just sitting there empty, abandoned?
Somebody bought it. I think I heard it's going to be a sovereign bank or something. I don't know.
God. I'm going to go in there and open an account. I don't even care.
I don't know.
Remember that one guy who would smear shit on the toilet seat? Do you know what I'm talking about?
The one that what?
Would
what? Is...
would, would smear shit on the toilet seat?
No, I don't remember that. I think okay, I remember so somebody smearing shit on the wall, so.
Oh, my God. So this is like Moomoo's house. Remember that bathroom?
Oh, Frank. Yes! And anal beads. I remember hearing the anal beads story. Oh, my God.
And the last one here is member, the word.
Take a bite.
Yeah. I just remember hearing you say that all the time in the kitchen, trying to feed
yourself. Oh my God.
Take a bite.
Actually, both of my children were difficult eaters. The younger one is a pain in the ass as well.
Okay, cool. That's our member game. Yay!
Yay! That was fun.
All right. So how are you enjoying Thomas Anonymous?
I enjoy it. It's some things I knew, some things I kind of had a feeling, and it's like getting to know a whole side of you that I didn't know, but I knew existed, you know?
I love that. I love that everyone that, like, knows me for real has basically said the same thing, because even Kate, when Kate was here, she was like, man, some of this stuff I never even fucking knew about you.
Absolutely. Like, Onion Girl, I didn't know, you know what, actually, maybe I did know about Onion Girl. I vaguely remember you saying something about an onion vagina.
That sounds like me. I believe it. I do remember, I think even at the time I remember talking about that one, but that's because she was stupid and mean afterwards, so I kind of told everyone that her vagina smelled like an onion. But it did. That wasn't made up. So I have questions for you, but before I put my Barbara Walters hat on, I'm going to be a gentleman and let you, like, do you have any questions, or do you have did your publicist write a mission statement that you have to get off your chest?
There is no mission statement, no. I feel like, you know, we are finally, well, I am finally at peace with all that has transpired. I mean, I kind of knew all of it had been coming. In fact, I think I remember finding you in my closet the second time around. I found you hiding in my closet, and I thought, okay, did he do that on purpose?
Wait, the second time around, my dick picture?
No. The second time around for us dating. I remember towards the end of the relationship, finding you hiding in my closet.
And I was no way. Really?
Yes. I remember, okay, so I knew that he was gay and is probably at least bi, but, I mean, he's in my closet. Is he intentionally trying to tell me something?
Wait, the person who remembers everything, I have no recollection of this. My whole body was inside your closet, just sitting there?
It was just in my closet. You were in, down mode, and you were lying in bed with your hoodie, just laying there. And I remember at this point, I was, desperately grasping on to, okay, I'm losing him. And I walked out of the room, and I came back in, and you were literally in my, I was like, where the fuck did Tommy go? He didn't leave. Where is he? And then I found you in the closet, and I was like, okay, you're hiding in my closet. I remember this specifically, and I was like, he's trying to tell me something.
Oh my God, wow. I love depression because I guess you just black some days out. Yeah, that's crazy.
I can't believe you don't remember that. Wow.
No, I just remember in this chapter that's coming out tomorrow, which usually when you're on the WeCap you get to listen to, but because this was so last minute, I already deleted it off YouTube, so you don't have to listen. But you can listen tomorrow.
It's okay. I'll listen. I'll hear it again.
I talk about the second time we were together, and I say how I remember laying in bed depressed, but, I really only remember, staring at the wall once. To me, it's, one afternoon that I was depressed. That's what my memory is of it.
Oh, no, it was a couple of weeks, I feel like.
Oh, I know.
For me, it was a couple of weeks.
That is crazy. Yeah, so you'll hear in this chapter I talk about how eyeliner set me free and that whole crazy, fun punk rock time of our time. But can you believe that was 13 years ago?
I can, only because baby girl is 18 and graduating high school now. And that's how I keep track of time, is okay, so she was old. Yeah, that's the benefit to having kids. Okay, so they were this old when this happened, so this was that many years ago.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. I know. And she's a lot like you and I were at 18. Well, maybe not so much you, although, no, she does go back and forth. She comes in and out of the closet all the time. I think she's come out to me like 3 or 4 times, and I'm like, yeah, whatever.
I know,
sorry.
I love that.
So great. Whatever, baby girl. You are who you are, and I'm going to love you no matter what. So,
oh, that's
whatever.
So great. All right, so I also want to know about
yeah.
I want to know about the run-ins that you've had to have with Lithium. Like, has she ever apologized? Do you guys talk? Like, what are those like?
She has actually apologized to me. Okay, so I, you know, if we haven't had a few cocktails, it's like, oh, hi, how are you? Awesome. And I'm trying to, like, let go of negativity and not hold on to hatred.
Sure. Yeah.
But at the same time, like, that shit rises, and it's like, oh, you're, yeah. Anyway. I did see her at a wedding, and my husband was in the wedding, so I was stuck there with, like, nobody I really knew. And she was there, and, like, she was already shit-faced by the time I got there, before the wedding started, and she,
oh,
like,
God.
At first she latched on to me, and she was telling me how sorry she was, and I was like, yeah, it's okay. And she's like, no. It's not okay. And I'm like, yeah, but whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah,
whatever.
Right.
I just want to move on from this topic. And
but then
I almost latched on to her, like, okay, here's somebody I know, because we all know how I am with public things.
And especially
I hate people.
She was in the wedding, you were kind of left at the wedding, like, you didn't
by
have
myself.
A space to do the whole time. Right.
I was like, why am I here? I don't know these
Oh, people. My God. So you kind of had to, like, hang out with Lithium that night.
I did. Until, you know, the whole pictures thing was done, and then I got my husband back. But, yeah, it was...
Wow.
It was super uncomfortable for me.
So was that like the last? Was that like the last most recent run-in?
No, actually, she comes into my work every now and again with to buy pizzas or whatever. And I did. Funny story. I almost ran her over because she is in the medical field, and I was taking my kids to the doctors. And when I went to leave, she was like crossing the street in a white coat, and I almost hit her. And I was like, "Oh shit, that's Lithium." What the fuck is she doing here? So,
oh,
yeah.
Man, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think she listens to the podcast? And if so, how jealous is she going to be that you're on as the hero?
I don't know. You know what? I would not be surprised if she did. If she does, she would probably be super jealous. She's just...
We don't need to know. I think it's... Here's what I love about the whole situation. I love that now... Is she still, like, a single mom, or is she, like, going to marry someone? What's going on with that?
Oh, no. She was married, and then she told me when we were at that wedding that her husband was a heroin addict, so she was going through a divorce.
Great.
And she was, like, totally ignoring her current boyfriend. and then they broke up, and then the last I saw, she was with somebody else. But I, you know,
the sweet
yeah.
irony, I think, is that, you know, there you are at this party or wherever, and like, she's like the single mom with a heroin addict ex-husband, and like, there you are, like, the legit together, has a husband, go fuck yourself, I'm crushing life. Like, oh my God. I love that.
Yeah. It does feel pretty damn good.
You know, like, here you go, single mom, have fun.
And that is, because remember, she did say that you were this abusive boyfriend. And I remember hearing that. And before you and I started talking again the second time, I remember hearing, like, she tried to tell me that you beat her up. And I was what are you talking about? Like, Are you trying to
me beating someone up? Like, I'm...
That's what I thought. I was like, he doesn't have a violent bone in his body. He might tear you apart with words, but that's about it. That's
you
about
know
it.
Me.
I do. So, myself.
No, someone wants, if anyone wants to, like, physically, like, get in a physical, I get scared. I run away. I'm like, uh-uh, I'm dipping out, getting out of here. Bye.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. you can fight with words, and if you can't fight with words, then don't bother.
All right. So we're done with lithium. I want to, one last thing. I want to rewind, because here's what I can't remember most about, like, that time, but mostly the second time. There was, like, no technology. What kind of technology did we have? Because, like, I don't remember. We didn't text. Did we text? Like, did we have, you know, like, we had MySpace. I remember we had MySpace pages.
I think that was about it. I mean, we did text because, if you recall, we got cell phones together. And
the first cell phones of 2001.
Yes, and there was text messaging back then, but I think it was, like, limited. And I remember thinking it was so cool that I could send you a text message. So there was texting, but it wasn't as big as it is now. Like, I prefer text messaging because I can think about what the hell I'm saying before I respond, because I tend to sound like an asshole.
Yeah. I know. I totally agree. Because, like, now, you know, I think about life now and relationships now. Like, in my relationship, like, I can't, like, there's probably millions of texts. Like, I feel like relationships now, you're in contact with that person. Chris Rock does a really good bit about this. But, yeah, you're in all day, every day, like, I'm going to be home here. I'm going to be, and then I think back to, like, you know, old relationships, like, with you, where, like, we probably went the whole day sometimes without saying anything until the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like you had more of a conversation then, too.
Yeah, because we weren't up each other's ass about what was for lunch that day. Anyway, I don't know if there's anything I wrote down about, like, technology. And I remember we had MySpace pages.
I forgot my filter.
Hey, I know. I prefer people with no filters. Those are the interesting people I want to talk to.
Excellent. Good.
I think that's all I had. The last thing I had was I just want everyone to know that you got to keep your ring, and Lithium's ring got pawned for $50. So take that, everyone.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. It was nice to talk to you, and I'm sure whenever the hell I am in Massachusetts again, we can have another fun reunion visit.
Oh, absolutely. I would love that. I would love that. And thank you for including me.
Of course, Pussy Willow. You are the one and only, as always.
Thank you.
Have a great night. Thank you.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my god, wow, was that cool or what? Oh my god, I had so much fun today, and if there is one thing we learned from Willow, it's that Lithium is still getting pizzas to bring over to some poor dude's house. Thoughts and prayers. That's the show for today. Thanks so much for listening, you guys are all fabulous. If you want to keep up with me and the stupid shit I post, follow me on Instagram at TheThomasAnonymous. I know, anonymous is hard to spell, fucking Google it, alright? You can also send the show a message on the Facebook page at ThomasAnonymousPodcast. And if you're on Twitter, God, we talked about this every week, the Twitter, at Tommy Natoli or at The Weed Cap. Thank you to all the awesome people on the show today. Michelle with 1L, you can follow on Instagram at Don't Sit On Me Pillows. A big thank you to Willow for calling in. You rock. You're awesome. I want to give a special shout out and thank you to BenSound.com and Majestic Color for providing the music you hear in the show. Okay, bye. I'm